Hello and welcome to the September 21st, 2020 Credentials Community Group meeting. We are going to be discussing a lot of work items. We've got a bunch of work items that have been submitted. I've got six on deck. There's a few other we might touch base on. So let's get to it. Okay, IP note. Anyone can contribute in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work item must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. You can join the Credentials Community Group at this link. You will need to have a W3C account, which is free for anyone. And you will need to sign the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement. Call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on this call will be archived at our CCG Minutes Archive. I'll put the link in here too. Great. Okay, we use IRC to queue during the call as well as to take minutes. And if you are logged into the Jitsi, you are already into the chat. All attendees should type present plus to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. However, if you are logging in via Jitsi, you may notice that it automatically adds present plus for you. In IRC, type Q+. If you'd like to add yourself to the queue, I'll just show you an example. Q+ adds you to the queue. If you want to remove yourself from the queue, you can do Q-, and you can also add Q+ and then a note about what you want to say in order to get onto the queue. And then I'm going to just remove myself from the queue. If you're not on IRC and you're only via audio, simply speak up and ask to be put in the queue. When you make a comment, especially on a day like today when we're covering a lot, try to be brief and keep it to the point or mention the points you're going to talk about. And then you can always queue yourself again. This meeting is held by voice, not IRC, so off-topic IRC comments are subject to deletion from the record. Okay, scribe selection. We've got a lot more folks on the call now, so I'll again ask for volunteers. Do we have anyone volunteering to scribe? Okay, so let's go through the scribe document then. Okay, so, Kim, you're at the top of the list. Did I see you join? No, Christina's here. Did not see Kim. Okay. Chris and Zeki?
Yep. Heather, this is Steve Gantz. I'll scribe. I haven't done it before, but I'll give it a try.
Oh, thank you so much, Steve. So the way you scribe is whoever is speaking, just type in their name, and you can use the handle that's on here, and then you can type what they're saying. If someone is continuing to speak and you've already hit enter, you can do three dots to show that the same speaker is speaking. Don't worry. Yeah, Kim, you have paid your dues, maintained the infrastructure for years. Absolutely. 100%. Steve, if you, other folks, if you want to jump in, I'll go ahead and jump in with topic stuff. If other folks who know how to scribe want to jump in with some of the more infrastructure stuff to help Steve out today, that would be great. So, Steve, one of the first things you can do is type in your name and then, or just type in scribe plus, I think. Does that work to make him automatically the scribe? Or I can do this.
Yeah, I think that works.
Okay, let's see if that works. Okay, great. Thanks, Steve. Okay. Introductions and reintroductions. Do we have anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? If you are here new, just type Q+. any reintroductions? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Are there any announcements and reminders? Mike, you're on the queue.
Yes, I just put a link in just to note the comment period on read it out exactly so I state it appropriately. For the minimum standards for driver's licenses and identification cards acceptable by federal agencies for official purposes, semicolon mobile driver's licenses, that comment period for DHS has been extended to October 18th. So being that there is a lot of potential use for things like DIDs and VCs in this space, I would encourage any implementers that are overlapping with that to please put comments in if you have not, because that could be potentially a really interesting way of getting VCs out in broader usage. So,
great. Thanks, Mike. Anyone else have an announcement or reminder? I guess I will note that IIW is the week, it's October 12th through 14th, I believe. And, so sign up and register for that. And we will have, the following week, we will have the CCG will do a recap meeting of what was presented at IIW. So if anyone would like to plan to speak at that meeting, pay attention to what's going on at IIW. Okay, and progress on action items. Most of this meeting is going to go towards these action items. Oh, wait, actually, I do have I put it in the action item so I wouldn't forget. I do have another announcement. TPAC is coming up, and the CCG, the chairs of the CCG, will be presenting our TPAC presentation on October 26th during our regular CCG call time. And also, the TPAC has put an announcement out for breakouts. So, they have invited the community to propose a breakout session during TPAC. You can get all the details on proposing a breakout session, a TPAC breakout session, at this link I am posting right here. Of interest is TPAC week. Breakout week is October 18th through 22nd. So you can see the different times and what kinds of sessions you can propose and some examples. And I believe a bunch of different sessions have already been proposed. I know that, the CCG chairs have discussed, doing a kind of 101-ish breakout session. Mike Prorock, if you look at the GitHub thread, there's one that is how to get started in credentials. Decentralized space would be a great Q&A session for a breakout. So, I guess would be interesting to find out if there are folks in the community that would be interested in, creating or developing that breakout session. And rather than discuss it on this call, might I invite you to comment on the thread and we can focus our conversation there. Okay, let's see. I'm going to go back to this. I want to also give a heads up to an upcoming shift, an addition that we're, the co-chair, the CCG co-chairs have been discussing to add some clarification to our work item process. We have submitted a new work item about adding an explicit call out for consensus in community reports. Putting the link to that in there. So, we're not going to discuss this today, but I want to just do a heads up on this. So, in the final report stage, we would like to add a section, a bullet point that implicitly implies consent on a work item from the CCG. So basically what that means is currently we have, a process of, a work, a final report stage. So, once a deliverable, a work item deliverable, if it's a community report, is at the final stage, we would like there to be an explicit opportunity for the community to review it and add a community response section. And in that community response section, people can, the community and individuals from the community can respond to the item. Either principal objections could go in here as well as support. There can also be fine-tuned clarification of certain support or certain concerns in different aspects of the community report. The chairs believe that this will enable us to deliver reports and deliverables that follow the consensus process, but then also include a section specifically to include diverse viewpoints that may be in support, somewhat in support, or in somewhat objection to some of the work. So we think that that will be a way to add more transparency and broad participation. So I think we'll probably discuss that a bit more in a future meeting. Okay, so that's all the basic stuff. So we are going to go through, I have 6 work items on the list. So first up is going to be this VC-JWT interop test artifact. So if you give me one moment, I will put the links in here. And do we have Charles Lehner, Juan Caballero, Ori Steele? Would any of you guys like to speak to this? Ori, you're on the queue. Over to you.
Sure. So we've been talking about how to essentially better prove the JWT aspect of the VC data model, its conformance, and in particular, its interoperability with other representations. We've made a bunch of progress discussing how, you know, we think we should go about doing that. Essentially, it's, you know, about creating a set of test vectors that clearly explain the relationships and conformance aspects of the various data models. We've also concluded that the timing of it is such that there's other areas of interest that we might want to pursue first. So I think we still need to set up a repo for it at some point in the future. But for now, I think it's kind of in a holding pattern as we work on related aspects in other places. Thanks.
Okay, great. Ori, so do we want to keep this, our sentence in a holding pattern? Do we want to make a note that it's in a holding pattern? Do we want to and leave it as a proposed work item? Is this an approved work item? So it should be approved, create the repo, and then you'll get to it when you can. What's the next step on this?
I would recommend that we leave it as a proposed work item, and that we circle back to it, you know, at an appropriate time in the future. And until that time, we continue the work that's related to it in the existing work items that are relevant, such as, you know, the VC-HTTP API to some degree and work that's ongoing at the Decentralized Identity Foundation. So I would propose not creating a new repo, if it's going to be empty for like quite some time. We should just come back to it. That would be my recommendation.
Okay, that sounds great. Juan, you're on the queue. Over to you.
But just for the sake of timelines, I was just going to say that the diff item is kind of a quick, it's like a sprint. It needs to be done in 3 months. So, there will probably be new issues that arise from that that are pushed out of scope that would help scope this to be complementary and sort of build on it, or to take up any, you know, questions that can't be resolved there. So I think like it isn't on hold indefinitely. It's on hold for 3 months max, probably a few weeks less than that.
Okay, great. So does it make sense to check in on this at the beginning of the year? I know it's a bit more than 3 months, but there's various other holidays and things. Do you need to check in December, do you think, Ori, Juan?
Yes.
Yeah, sounds good.
January? Okay, great. Great, I'll put that on the list. Thanks, guys. Okay, next up is drawing the line on DID methods in and out of scope. Okay, so the CCG co-chairs have had a couple of discussions about this, and after some discussion, we've decided, the chairs, and this is of course open to community feedback, but we listen to the feedback in making this decision, is that the chairs agree that it doesn't make sense to include every DID method in the scope of the CCG. So then there's the question of what is the criteria for including DID methods to be included in the scope of CCG work? And in general, the chairs have the idea that DID methods that support community goals or across community or multiple people within the community are working on them. From a gut level, it seems to make sense to include those within the scope of the CCG. However, the chair is wanting to ask the community if we need to develop specific criteria on guidance or guidance to be more clear about what can or cannot, what is or what is not within scope. So community comments. Ori, you're on the queue.
So I think the last time this came up, the primary objection was related to DID methods that rely on a verifiable data registry that is a blockchain of some format. And we noted that there are already two DID methods in the CCG that do not rely on blockchains, DID key and DID web. There was a proposal to add a new DID method to the CCG that did interact with blockchains, and there was objections to registering a new DID method that relied on a blockchain. So I would focus the community's feedback on that aspect of the criteria because that seemed to be where the objection was previously. It's my perspective that these criteria should be applied evenly, and if multiple members in the community want to work on something in the CCG, regardless of whether it relies on blockchain or not, it should be accepted. Thanks.
Thanks, Ori. Mike?
Yeah, and I think maybe a little bit of clarity and color. I think noting to, you know, what Ori is calling out is that there are, I think, at least one method that may rely, if not more, that rely on a specific blockchain. I think that's really where the more of the issue comes from my side, is on a DID method that relies on one particular, you know, blockchain versus another, you know, something that's agnostic, or across, different ones. And I think one thing we may want to consider or, look at from a consistency sake would be to rehome items that, might be present in CCG that might not meet really what we're going after here. But that's, obviously just out for comment. So thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Marcus, you're up next.
Yes, just wanted to say quickly, I agree with Ori that whether or not the DID method depends on the blockchain should not be a criterion. And I also agree with the chairs. I think the language was that it should be about the methods that are used to a broader community rather than single vendors or single implementers.
Thanks, Marcus. Juan, you're up next.
I think there might be a Ryan Grant ahead of on the queue.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, Ryan. You're up next.
Thank you. I think that picking what's in the community or out based on the technology is wrong. And I would ask everybody who thinks that a certain technology should be out of the community to say why.
Is that your comment, Ryan? Or did you have more?
That's all I have for now.
Okay, thank you. Juan, now you're up.
Actually, that I was gonna say that it feels to me like when we say when we refer to blockchains, the problem isn't that they are a blockchain. They could be a DAG or they could be a cloud of carry nodes. There's many non-blockchain technologies that I think people might not want this group to work on. Did methods that are specific to one such technology. I think it would behoove us to be a little more precise about what the problem is with a one blockchain did method, because I think a blockchain is often used as like a synecdoche for a financially and or ideologically coherent community that people think of as having something in common. That, you know, it's sort of like, it's not like saying a did method specific to Microsoft Cloud, but I think sometimes people think of them that way, as like a cloud or an economic ecosystem that brings with it a bias that isn't necessarily a vendor bias, but it's somewhere closer to that, right? So I think we need to phrase it a little more precisely, because not all blockchains are cohesive bundles of business interests, and not all cohesive bundles of business interests use the blockchain technology specifically. Like I said, a DAG could be just as out of bounds, and a blockchain could be totally within bounds. I think we need to name the, but you know, murky configuration of business interests that we don't want to work on in CCG.
Hey, thanks, Juan. Kerry, you're up next.
Hey, thanks. I actually have a question. I'm wondering if you could clarify, what are the implications of a did method being in or out of scope?
So actually I'm on a queue, and so I can answer that because it goes on to the point I wanted to make. The scope question came out in the context of discussing two proposed work items, which I'm hoping for us to get to. What we've been discussing about blockchain here, you know, is important, but I feel like it's a little bit of a red herring to the point of the scope conversation. I want to just restate what the chairs have proposed about scope limitation. For DID methods to be developed in the CCG, they need to support community goals or cross-community or multiple people in the community want to work on it. Please notice that I did not say DID method could not use blockchain. And in the scope of these other two work items, we did talk about blockchain. But the broader scope question is, how do we decide what did methods are going to be worked on in the CCG versus not? So if an individual company wants to do a did method that's based on a blockchain, they should be able to go do that. And that should not have to be a CCG work item. If multiple people in the CCG community want to work on a DID method that supports community goals, is cross-community, and does use a blockchain by the scope criteria I just say it stated, I would say if it gets approved as a work item, it would be a legit work item. So I don't want us to get and have like a sideline question, like argument or discussion about whether blockchain technology should be included or not. I don't really care one way or the other. The scope question is about what do we include in the CCG? And rather than have that conversation today, because it sounds like we have a lot of passionate people, I am going to say based on my question, which is, do we develop specific criteria and guidance on choosing the scope around a DID method that is in the CCG or is not in the CCG? I think we should have a separate conversation about that, or we should have a discussion on a GitHub thread. And I'll say to that, Mike, I'm going to let you be maybe like the last person to chime in on this, if that's okay.
Yeah, no worries. And I just wanted to clarify, because I think there may have been some, you know, perhaps some misunderstanding of the goal here. And I think you hit the nail on the head. This is really about, you know, how should we as a community be thinking about criteria for work items, you know, et cetera. We absolutely do not want to block any specific technologies, right? There are things in CCG that as, you know, potential standards or that have evolved out of work items here, like DIDs, that leverage Bitcoin, for instance. Cool. Awesome. Right. These are good things, right? Seeing this adoption and seeing these standards apply to multiple things and approaches apply to multiple things. So I think that should be, you know, clear there. The other thing that we do want to be careful about is just making sure that, when we're looking at specific, work items, you know, just what's going on and is it supporting ultimately something that can move into a standards track item? Now, obviously not everything has to. There are things where CCG works as a great home for something, right? That may not, be suitable to move down that path, but it's just that, you know, let's get that conversation going around these criteria and how should we be thinking about this as a community? As obviously we're getting more active as, you know, the CCG is getting more active. We are seeing more work item proposals. So we have to just start thinking about what, you know, how can we ask these questions and evaluate these things as we go, right?
Okay, cool. So I guess I'm going to actually try, this might be not very good, but I'm going to see if we can talk about some of these two DID methods that have to do about the DID methods, DID PKH and also DID TZ. Put those links in here. And I think I'm kind of reiterating the obvious when I say that we had like discussion. So based on the criteria that I stated, that is, the CCG co-chairs, myself, Wayne, and Mike have agreed to, as a guideline that using that guideline, the DID PKH work item would be approved as a work item. And we would request, the CCG chairs, would request DID TZ to be withdrawn. This also brings up the issue that perhaps we should all have a bigger discussion about this, what to do about DID methods that are individual DID methods like DID BTCR and other things that are already in the CCG. Do we rehome them as was as suggested, or do we grandfather them in? Again, I don't know that I necessarily want us to have this question, this discussion today. I'm going to say, can we move through either approving or withdrawing these two work items quickly? Or if not, then let's shelve them for another day. So I think I saw you on the queue, Wayne. Over to you.
Yeah, I just would request that whatever is agreed upon is applied consistently across all work items, even if they are established before. So for rejecting, you know, blockchain-specific methods, then I would like to see that the same kind of designation applies to everything else that exists. And I will note that I think there are two. There's DidVerus 1 that exists as a repository within CCG, and also DidBTCR. There might be other ones, but those are the two that I were able to find.
Yeah, and Wayne, those are really good points. And normally, you know, we could take a grandfathering state because those are there, which does privilege them. But they have been in the community for a really long time, and then not accept any other ones. So, Wayne, did you have comments? I mean, or did the owners of these two work items, the DidPKH and DidTZ, do you have any comments on the proposal to accept PKH as a work item and ask to withdraw the TZ one? Ori, in order to answer that question, why are we not accepting work items the community wants to work on? This all has to do with the scope work, the scope questions that came up about that. Okay, Juan, you're on the queue.
Just a purely pedestrian next steps question. How does one withdraw a work item? Do I just close the issue if that's what's happening?
Yeah, you can make a comment, like an update based on, you know, the call today and ask for a withdrawal. And I think it can be acknowledged by the chairs and then the issue can be closed.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, well, I guess we'll move forward. See what happens with those guys. Okay, the next work item we have is VBS signature scheme with Tomislav and Jakub. So I'm going to pop these in. And Tomislav, over to you.
All right, thank you. So I know that the agenda is packed. I'll try to be very brief. This proposal deals with extending the VBS signature scheme using additional normalization or canonicalization algorithm, specifically JSON pointer normalization. The reason why this is interesting for the current VBS scheme is because the VBS signature scheme uses a multi-message payload to sign documents. And currently that multi-message payload is obtained by using the universal RDF dataset normalization algorithm, so JSON-LD processing. This proposal scopes its work to using JSON pointer canonicalization instead, which achieves the same thing, converts the input document into a document that's representable or usable within a multi-message signature. For those not familiar, JSON pointer is a specification. It's in the IETF standards track. That provides unique addressing for each of the value in a complex JSON graph. And it looks very similar to XML path with kind of a slash syntax to denote what the address of each of the value is. So a very complex JSON document can be flattened into a single JSON document. I'm looking at the VLC document right now, the decanonicalized format using JSON pointer, which shows how a JSON document can be converted into this. And this operates over any JSON document, whether that document is a JSON-LD compliant or not. So how can this be brought into linked data proofs? The linked data proof spec specifies some terms around using canonicalization algorithm, which can be used to specify how the document was canonicalized prior to signing, in addition to also, I think, a signature algorithm and a couple of others relevant to this. So this canonicalization algorithm, for the most part, has been the RDA dataset normalization algorithm, with the exception of the JCS one signature suite that uses alternative algorithm. So utilizing this, the BBS signature scheme could be potentially extended or new signature scheme that's very similar that defines the use of this canonicalization algorithm be defined as part of this work item. because the JSON pointer canonicalization operates over JSON documents, it works well with both embedded signatures and wrapped signatures, which is the Jose variant of it. So the hope is that maybe a broader standardization can be achieved by using this canonicalization algorithm with different signature suites. Yeah, that's fine.
Great, thank you. I don't see anyone on the queue, but I did have some question. I did have a question for you in reviewing the GitHub thread. It looks like, is this work in conjunction with diff activities? And if so, how do you plan to coordinate?
There are no work items in diff right now that are relevant to this specific work item, the linked data proofs creation of it. However, there are efforts to bring this to the Jose signature suite, the canonicalization algorithm, but I wouldn't say that the two necessarily overlap other than they're using the same canonicalization algorithm. There's definitely no dependency in required work.
Okay. Okay, great. It looks like you have hit all of the requirements. Are there any other questions from the community about this item? I'm not seeing any, so I think what we'll do is, we'll go ahead and give this a 7-day review, and then we can open this up as a work item.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much for coming today and for being brief and on point. Great. Okay. Up next, we have the VC guide. Do we have Michael Herman on the call? Or David Chadwick? Because I'm not seeing either. Okay, then we'll go ahead and skip this. We'll move on to breakout use cases for VC HTTP API. One. Eric, are you on here for, is Eric here? Is it you on?
I am involved with those use cases as well.
Great.
I think Eric couldn't make it. Yeah, that is a pretty straightforward, literally just need a separate repo for the sake of clarity and navigation, just so that we're trying to migrate it to respec this week, actually. So it's, just to have a separate repo that can be linked from the VC HTTP API. It would still be discussed on those calls by that group. You know, it's the only difference is just need a repo.
Yeah, Juan, can you tell the community what the work item is?
Oh, sorry. Sorry, I said everything except the important part. The VC HTTP API working group started publishing more non-normative stuff. It was previously just a Swagger doc for an API that had been co-designed by a few CCG companies and participants, and as part of trying to make it more formal, widely consumable, widely intelligible, lots of people, you know, emailed the Swagger docs to business partners or something, and the business partners were like, I have no idea what's going on. I need 100 times more context. So part of the, that weekly meeting, is, largely about technical stuff. And there's like a little sort of parallel work track that a couple of people were working to make the use cases supported by that API, just explicit, and so that you can point to use cases while haggling over design discussions in the main work, working group meetings. So yeah, these are just use cases that would look kind of like the DID and VC use cases. and would inform an API spec that is more than just a Swagger doc. That's the goal.
Okay, great. Yeah, as you can see in the thread, it looks like a pretty straightforward work item. One quick question, one, what is the like deliverable going to be in? Is it going to be like a Word doc or like a respect file?
Yeah.
Do you have an idea of what that might be?
It's been a Google Doc all this many weeks, hilariously, but we're going to keep the Google Doc. We're going to clean up the Google Doc a little more once we move a draft to respec. So people would, while it's still sort of being developed, people can contribute to the Google Doc, asynchronously outside of calls, you know, without permission, permissionlessly. So that would make the, that repo will just contain a respec that renders like any other CCG spec.
Okay. Sounds great. Just wanted to give you an opportunity to tell the community about this new project. So we'll go ahead and, so wait, are you going to have a repo to transfer over? Do the chairs need to create a new repo for you?
Oh, shucks. I think Eric had one on LegRec, but
you can circle back with us on
that. Yeah, I'll circle back. Sorry.
What you need to do.
Yeah, I'll drop a link in the text. I don't have it handy.
Okay. Great. Or if you guys want to, if you want to start the transfer process, we can go ahead and get the official, items, steps in place to do that, to get it to be an official work item. Okay, cool. Great. Okay. So can't believe it. We're walking through this. We did skip probably one of the biggest work items I thought we were going to discuss today. Okay. So next up is Merkle disclosure proof. Ori, Mike. Do one of you want to talk about this one? Ori, over to you.
Sure. So the BBS Plus JSON-LD signature suite that relies on RDF dataset normalization was the first linked data signature suite that sort of supported selective disclosure. It had this nice interface with frames. And an immediate concern was, you know, it was too much of a snowflake. There was only kind of like one version of it, and that's not great. What happens if something bad happens to BLS 12381 from a cryptographic standpoint? This work item proposes a compatible interface built on top of Merkle proofs and arbitrary JSON web signatures. So essentially what that means is that you can do selective disclosure and you can keep the keys you're already using. You don't have to support using BLS 12381 to get the same kind of selective disclosure interfaces. In addition, it also sort of elaborates on some of the troubles around normalization's a required process for selective disclosure. So that's a summary of the work item. It's essentially, there to help us refine the selective disclosure interfaces in the next round of verifiable credentials. Thanks.
Thanks, Ori. Anyone have comments? Or Mike, do you want to have any comments? Anyone? Mike, over to you.
Yeah, I just wanted to note that this part of the motivation here too, right, is we always want an alternative, as Ori noted, to being tied to one specific cryptographic suite. And so this also opens up other interesting possibilities and thoughts around other ways of handling selective disclosure, perhaps in compliance with certain FIPS requirements, et cetera. So I think it's an interesting space that a lot of members of the community could also help bolster, because selective disclosure is very important from a privacy and a control standpoint. I know that's top of mind for many, if not all, of the folks on this call.
Marcus, you're up next.
How does this relate to the previous work item that was discussed today, the one that combines BBS Plus signature scheme with JSON pointer normalization?
It's related in that this work item shows how to basically swap the normalization layer in and out while maintaining the same cryptographic guarantees. So this work item shows how to use RDF dataset normalization and JSON pointer normalization. And you can pick one or the other, but you're still going to be able to do a selective disclosure proof with a Merkle root and a JSON web signature. So it's related in that both work items rely on normalization as part of selective disclosure. It's not related in that this work item relies on Merkle proofs and boring JSON web signatures. Sorry, I'm done.
Okay, thanks, Ori. I guess my mute button is kind of acting weird today. If there's no other questions from the community, it also looks to me like you have have the requirements for a work item. So I would suggest doing 7-day waiting via GitHub. And if there are no other concerns, we can open this as a work item. Okay. All right. Well, since we didn't talk about the VC guide, we have some time left. And if the community would like, I did cut our conversation short about what's in and out of scope for DID methods. So I'd like to propose that we pick that back up and have that time now. Okay. Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I did want to note, I did open an issue for this too, so I obviously will have the scribe record, but this is an important thing, especially as the community grows, so let's, and I think potentially scope could go broader than that, right? There's a lot of stuff we can touch on here within the community and do touch on, so I think from my standpoint, this is like chairs looking for guidance. I think Heather and Wayne are probably looking at that the same way, right? Let's make sure we're properly capturing the will of the community and setting a good precedent and a path forward. So.
Yeah. And I guess like, can we decouple the scope conversation and the decision on these two DID methods? I'll start with that question to the community. Or do we have to have the scope question? Do we have to have the scope question first before we can make a decision on one or both of these DID methods? Okay, please cue yourself if you have a comment. Ori?
It seems like the scope question is being used to answer the DID method question and is a critical blocker for moving forward on any future work items. So I would say no, and the scope question seems to be critical that it be addressed in some way that represents the consensus of the community before we accept any more work items.
So my response to that is I see a little more flexible. I know this community likes to take action and be able to move fast. I don't see the scope question being resolved easily. But I do feel like at a gut level, I have heard, that there, it seems really clear to me what just generally should be in scope and what shouldn't. And I'm just going to say what I said before, which is, and I just want everyone to hear that there's no technology spoken in this, is that criteria for DID methods to be developed in the CCG are generally ones that support community goals or cross community. And the reason that we're asking for like this community participation of creating these DID methods is to respond to a fear that was communicated on a previous call. The person who had that comment isn't here. The concern and fear that if we did not have, if we did not limit DID methods to be worked on, like with community things in mind, that we would just have a ton of did method work items. Everyone in their company would be coming here and doing that. Yeah, I think that's it. So it seems like who's on the queue? Juan, do you want to talk about, I guess, wait, before I go over to you, Juan, I think to me, it seems that like the community goals can be addressed. I don't know, maybe the scope's irrelevant because part of this work item requirements is people from multiple companies being required. Is that a good enough item for a work item requirement? Do people still have concerns that we're going to be overloaded by a bunch of work item requests for DID methods? I'll pass it over to you now, Juan.
I do think that part of the problem is businesses doesn't address the concern, right? Like two businesses that are entirely in the Google Cloud ecosystem that want to make something that only works for Google Cloud, you know, that would be a problem in the way that some people are uncomfortable with, you know, with. So I think part of the issue is that multiple companies can be aligned in wanting something that isn't good for the whole CCG community or that only serves shared economic interests. And I think that a lot of people are assuming that that's what's happening when a blockchain that has its own development funds wants to do work here, right? And I think in terms of did BTCR, I'd rather Cameron, someone who was participating in that, spoke to how did BTCR was sort of a sort of common good or like I think lots of did methods learned from the experiment of did BTCR and. DidTZ, I think, you know, is like, aspires to do the kind of work that, you know, it's just that, like, one specific economic ecosystem benefits from it more. But I think the intention of DidTZ was to, like DidBTCR, do something that would be of general utility in the design, in the novel design of the method itself, right? Like to sort of create primitives that would be useful. Specifically, I think DidTZ sort of combines a DidPeer or DidKey like off-chain mode and on-chain mode in a permeable way, like in a sort of seamless way. And the reason to try to do that, and, you know, and also incorporating side tree elements, those are both things that the proposers of that work item thought other the community as a whole might benefit from. So just to say that, like, I think to some degree you have to balance that, what the community gets out of work that might, be specific to one economic ecosystem. But yeah, the queue's long. I should stop.
Thanks, Juan. Kim?
Yeah. So BTCR, if anything, BTCR should be retired due to inactivity. Just haven't touched in a while. I do think BTCR was very important, and so I think that there's a bigger concern here, which is that whoever had some concern that are causing us to rethink our work item acceptance process, I think we should have that person write up their concern because this is a huge deviation from how we've accepted work items in the past. So I just think that we're causing a lot of work for some sort of, it sounds like this person has a concern with how we accept work items. That's a much bigger area that we've already spent a lot of time on over the last few years. So I'd like to see a concrete proposal from that person. It seems like it's sort of blocking progress in the community. So, that's just my proposal for how we might deal with it and kind of move past this. But I just think that there's not a substantive concern that's been raised yet.
Thanks, Kim, Wayne. And we'll do Wayne and Ryan and then we'll conclude the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll just keep it short. But plus one to what Juan was saying about the intent of the did TZ work item. We have some things there, including, like how did peer has, on-chain and off-chain rotation. Same kind of thing is enabled there. And another thing is that, did TZ's implementation is, formally verified. So we have a correct by construction mathematical proofs, that, verify certain properties of the key rotation. And, you know, we were looking to bring that work to the community in case there was interest as well. Just wanted to add that detail too. That's it.
Thanks, Wayne. Ryan, you're next and last.
So first of all, I'd like to say that, BTCR has a 2.0 that we're working on, and we've got an outline of what that work looks like, and we're kind of in the middle of finding the right place to schedule future work. And some of the people who founded this community are active on this BTCR DID method, and to sit here and defend my DID method against these outright attacks. Again, more attacks. If anybody else is familiar with pull 27 on the DID implementation guide and how that started, although they're claiming that it's not an attack anymore, I'm still disagreeing with that. I think it's ridiculous, and I think there's better ways to do it, and I don't think that DID BTCR being here is a burden. The only time we've talked about it recently is this plan, and I think that it's very important to say what the problem is so that we can discuss it clearly. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan, and I'm sorry that you feel that DID BTCR was under attack. I don't think that was the intention at all with this discussion. And in my opinion, as a chair, I think the scope discussion is one discussion, and then there's the what do we do with everything that we did prior to making the decision discussion. So there's that. I guess on reflection of this conversation here, maybe we don't need to do anything. Maybe we just need to put the 7-day on both these two DID methods and work the process, let the process work. And then address the feared influx of colluded company DID methods as it comes. Does anyone in the community on this call oppose that forward momentum? And we can also have the scope conversation separately. I guess just let's take another minute. If you have, yeah, okay. Wayne, you're on the queue.
Oh, sorry. That was from before.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Mike, you're on the queue.
Yeah, I dropped a comment to this effect on the issue. Just in thinking about it broader with good feedback from the community, I think an important note that we should probably consider is that one of the benefits that CCG has had to date has been, fostering interoperability across companies in an IP protected space, right? And there is some strong benefit to that. It may actually just strengthen the community to go ahead and just say, yeah, let's just continue to make this a place to move stuff forward. And as long as the editors are willing to take on burden and it's not adding burden to the chairs, et cetera, then cool. Like, let's just go ahead and keep, exactly, Ryan. I know, want to just explicitly call it Ryan in the comments there, like cross DID methods, et cetera. That's important stuff. So, my inclination would be down that inclusivity path, and probably the alternate question in place is just, from a management and overhead standpoint rather than maybe a scope item, right? That might actually be the more, important side. So I think there's a lot to discuss as a community. We've got the, issue open on it. So, we can move it to GitHub until the next time this gets picked up. So.
Okay, great then. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take an action item to move to 7-day for acceptance on both the DID PKH and DID TZ work items. And anyone who has issues, if this issue comes up, we'll let it come up through the GitHub thread. And Mike's got another, item open for the scope. And I would just like to say thank you to everyone on this call. We had a lot to cover. And we did cover every single work item except for the one that the owners did not show up for. So first of all, thank you. I know a lot of passionate people in this community. I appreciate your professionalism as we have a discussion. I also want to thank Steve for shouting out on doing your first scribing and Sel for jumping in. And for that, I am going to turn off the recording and we will conclude today's meeting.